Dr. Fried, you wrote an article about how we'll cope with returning to society. But the way you put it was redefining our risk tolerance during reentry in the COVID era.
For the longest time with COVID, it seems as though we were inching along, barely moving toward any return to normal. And then suddenly, in the past couple of weeks, it seems like things are opening up rapidly. And I think it's made many, if not all of us, reflect a bit on what have we been missing in life and what is our tolerance for risk reengaging back into life. Before COVID came, we consciously or subconsciously were comfortable, if you will, taking risk. We drove to work, we sat next to coworkers, we sat on trains and planes, realizing we could potentially catch something, a cold, a flu, Zika, Ebola, but we made peace with that. Now, all of a sudden, we've had a lot of time to contemplate, and we're sitting back now and saying, is it safe to venture out? How much risk am I willing to take in my day-to-day interactions? And for many, many people, obviously, COVID has been an enormously devastating and traumatic time. Both people who sustained direct losses of loved ones, of jobs, of friends, as well as the people who vicariously observed that and lived in terror of that. And in many ways, I think we're seeing a parallel now of what happens to people when they're held in captivity. COVID came along, and within days, we were ripped into captivity, isolation, and not allowed to engage and partake in the things that defined our world. And this was very much like receiving almost a horrible medical diagnosis. So Elizabeth Kubler Ross wrote years ago about how people dealt with death and dying. And in a very similar fashion, I think many of us initially had denial. Many of us were angry. Many of us were bargaining what would happen. For many of us, eventually acceptance. But acceptance can lead to acquiescence and apathy. Yes. And what I'm concerned about, what are we willing to risk? Many people have forgotten how good it is to see a smiling face, how liberating it is to walk through a supermarket. And because we haven't done it in so long, it's, do I really need to do that? Do I really want to do that? And what I passionately feel is human beings need human beings. We need to see them. We need to feel them. We need to be in the presence of them. We know from studies on children in World War II who were orphaned, not handled, not interacted with, they actually ceased to grow. They, in fact, they started to fall backwards on growth curves. They became ill. They became withered. They call it failure to thrive. How many people in their isolation of COVID have similarly become absent from contact and have begun to wither? We need to recontact. You know, the skin and the brain are from the same embryologic tissues. So our minds and our skin, they need stimulation, they need touch, they need activation. And we need to get back to that in whatever pace is most comfortable. Do we all have to rip off our masks and go right back to pre-COVID? Absolutely not. But I think we have to move slowly, move comfortably, with one caveat and one overlying cognition, and that is it's not necessarily going to feel right at first. We haven't done something in a long time, it's awkward. So we might stick our toe in the water a bit. We might go to the outdoor dining area of a restaurant. We might walk in the supermarket, pull the mask down for a second to look at a label or maybe even sniff something. Baby step back to engagement.
It's so different, though, depending on where you go. I attended Mass the other day, and I would say most people were without masks. Then I went to CVS right afterward, and everybody had masks on. It's almost like you're playing this game to see who is adjusting how.
You know, it's so interesting you use the word game, because early on in COVID, when we first ventured back into a supermarket, it almost looked like a game of Pac-Man where we try to avoid each other around the circle, looking at it, everyone next to us and saying, oh my God, they have the power to kill me. I got to avoid them. Now it's a new game. How are they looking at me because I'm wearing a mask, or how are they looking at me because I'm not wearing a mask? And are they judging me? Are they fearful of me? Am I fearful of them? And this too shall pass, as the saying goes. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to be respectful. We have to be respectful of other people's concerns. And somebody used the expression in my office yesterday, living on a wing and a prayer. And I said, specifically, what are you talking about? He said, the vaccine is my wings. It's giving my wings back. And the prayer is, I've taken steps. I can no longer hurt anyone because I could be carrying something. And it was a very liberating image that, yeah, we do need our wings back. And we're gradually flapping those wings day to day.
Do you think we're, quote unquote, returning to normal or normal-ish? I saw an ad, it was a campaign ad for the New Jersey governor, and he said, we're not going back.
Many people have lamented, we'll never have the normal we had. This will never be totally done. And there's going to be a new normal. But the truth is, every day, every week, every month, there's a new normal.
Right.
Based on good experiences, bad experiences. I do think people are correct that we will not go back to the old normal as it was. And so many people are devastated by that thought. But in fact, I think we're going to go back to a new normal that is in fact better than the old normal. And this is not a new concept. Every life event, every week, every month of our life, we go to a new normal. And ideally that new normal is one where we look and evaluate what is positive in our life, what is we're doing correctly, what is we'd like to do a little bit better, a little bit differently. So our new normal may be respecting one another, that when we have a cold, we will wear a mask so we don't give it to someone else. Our new normal may be during air travel, we'll choose to wear a mask. Respecting people with their discomfort. Being more grateful for the fact that we survived the pandemic. Being enlightened, if you will, that there are changes in behavior in societies that make for a better world and a more exciting and wonderful world. Enjoying that smile, enjoying that touch on the hand. There's so much that awaits in the new normal. And we have the power right now to make that new normal happen that much more quickly. Vaccination will get us there much more quickly. It will liberate us. It will allow us to move forward. Vaccination will allow us to comfortably hug the people we care about. It will allow us to travel. So we are in a very exciting time. I believe this will go down as one of the most exciting and amazing scientific times, and perhaps be looked at as a truly transformative time in society where we reevaluate how we choose to live and interact with others.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way. I do too, although there are going to be some hiccups, especially with people who are still involved in questioning the vaccine and all the political ramifications that have come with the pandemic. How would you suggest dealing with people like that?
I am so glad you brought that up, Pat. A vaccinologist at Johns Hopkins clarified the vaccine situation so beautifully several weeks ago. She said, what we don't necessarily realize is that we're all getting vaccinated 100 to 1,000 times a day. The food we eat, the air we breathe, the water we drink has bacteria, has virus, has fungus in it. So our immune systems are constantly being challenged to mobilize, make antibodies, deal with immune threats. The only difference between those random vaccinations, if you will, and the one that comes from a scientific house is the one that comes from a scientific house. We know exactly what's in there. We know that it's not alive. We know that it's sterile. We know that it's been tested. So the truth is, we are more at risk going through our daily eating and drinking, dramatically more at risk than a proven vaccine. This is not a new vaccine platform. This has been around in use for 8 years in its evolution since 2005. We are so many times more likely to be hurt ourselves or to hurt someone we care about by not taking a vaccine than by taking a vaccine. There are risks in life. If someone says to me, am I certain that gummy bears are safe? Well, honest to God, I saw someone 1 year ago who almost died of a gummy bear. Not because they choked on it, but because they reacted to the red dye in gummy bears. So yes, there's a finite risk in anything we do, anything we take. But nothing besides purification of the water system has saved more millions of lives than vaccinations. This is no different. The only difference is its effectiveness. This is the most effective vaccine in the history of medicine. So Democrat, Republican, independent, we all are individuals together on this planet who want to stay safe, who want to live better, not be burdened with either death from COVID-19 or disability from COVID-19. So I beg you, all of you, please consider vaccination for yourself and for everyone you care about.
This is a good time to sort of reboot or reset or reshuffle the cards, if you will, and get rid of things in your life that weren't working before. This is a good opportunity to do that.
It certainly is. One of the things my wife and I have often spoken about over the years is the mantra that many of us have that I would never, it could never, I'm not the kind of person who. And many of us, as the decades have gone on, have eaten those words and said, I guess maybe I am. I'm not the kind of person who likes to exercise. And then one day, by chance or by force, somebody twists our arm and gets us walking, and suddenly we find that a wonderful part of our routine. I'm not the kind of person who could meditate. Well, yeah. So many people end up learning meditation, simple breathing techniques, and find that it helps their blood pressure, helps their blood sugar, helps them deal with anxiety. So yes, unquestionably, this is a time to really think about what are the things that maybe we haven't tasted. There's a survivor's euphoria that they talk about when people narrowly escape injury or death. This is our time to be a little euphoric. There's a saying that says, so little risk, so little life. So maybe taking a risk of riding a bike, taking a risk of attending a reading, a book reading, just things that we said, hey, we're not that person. Sometimes we find we are that person. And as the opportunities avail themselves, or we make these opportunities, let's taste something a little bit new.
I'm going to try oysters, that kind of thing. Or I'm not the kind of person who drinks water. Can you believe that I once said that? But now I'm a water fanatic.
And the other thing that I think COVID has taught us is how much inflammation plays a role in injury or killing. We have known for many decades now that inflammation is an evildoer, whether it's in our coronary arteries, whether it's in our lungs in the form of asthma, or our lungs and our sinuses in the form of allergies, psoriasis, rosacea, fibromyalgia. We've known inflammation is damaging. But COVID took it to a whole nother level. People who die of COVID do not die of virus. They die of their own immune system's inflammatory response that goes absolutely bonkers and destroys our organs. So understanding front and center to do a better job at controlling inflammation is an opportunity. The single biggest risk factor for dying of COVID is obesity. And we have learned in the past 5 years that obesity is a disorder of inflammation. Now, which begets which, we're not sure. Is it as we get heavier, we get more inflamed? Or is it as we get more inflamed, we get heavier? Probably both. So controlling inflammation, either with mild, gentle exercise, meditation, anti-inflammatory diets, fish oil, extra virgin olive oil, vitamin D3, any of the other interventions that are gently anti-inflammatory may serve many, many masters to maintain a more ideal body weight. It may help inflammation in the body to be less so we don't have coronary artery disease, kidney disease, inflammatory arthritis, on and on it goes. So this is another area. Hey, you know, I'm not an olive oil guy, but suddenly a little olive oil and some vinegar on some mixed greens. Things that I never thought I would enjoy a salad for a meal. I learned I do. And I feel full if I put some nuts in it. Yeah. So it's just time to have fun and not be looking at everything as so overwhelming. You know what? The house is dirty. You know what? I didn't get to the laundry, but I didn't die of COVID either. What a great day it is. What a great day it is.
I thank you so much for joining me, and let's do this again.
Thank you. Talk to you soon, Pat.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.